Hey friends, welcome to the Her God Story podcast, where we celebrate the powerful ways God moves in the lives of women just like you. I'm your host, Jody Caracosta, ministry leader with Somebody Cares America and International, author and fellow traveler on this wonderful journey of faith. Let me ask you, have you ever felt unsure about what God has next for you? Maybe you're in a season of waiting, or you're facing an open door that feels a little intimidating. Whether he's calling you to raise a family, launch a business, lead in ministry, or simply take the next step of obedience, one thing is certain: God equips those he calls. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 reminds us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, to acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. That promise isn't just for pastors or missionaries. It's for everyone willing to walk by faith, no matter our role or setting. Sometimes the most profound impact comes not from a platform, but from quiet faithfulness in a workplace, a living room, a classroom, or a community. God is writing your story in every season, and the path may not always be clear, but his guidance is sure. My guest, Kay Horner, knows this kind of trust well. She's the executive director of the Awakening America Alliance and Helper Connection. But her journey has included many different roles, from leading a pregnancy center and serving as a church associate pastor, to managing media ministry operations and coordinating national prayer movements. She's also authored two books, The Christmas Dance and Today's Church, and contributed to several more, all while embracing her favorite roles as wife to Perry, mom of two, and now a proud grandmother. But Kay will be the first to tell you she never mapped out her ministry path. She simply followed God's leading, said yes when he opened doors, and trusted him to fill in the gaps when she felt unqualified. Her story reminds us that God can use anyone at any stage in life when we yield to his call. This episode is an edited version of our longer conversation with Kay, highlighting key moments in her journey in leadership. If you'd like to hear more of her powerful story, including how the Holy Spirit transformed her life in ministry, be sure to check out episode 16, titled, I Was Changed by the Power of the Holy Spirit, Kay Horner's Story. You won't want to miss it. So whether you're at home, at work, in ministry, or in between seasons, I pray Kay's story encourages you to believe that God sees you, he's guiding you, and he's faithful to complete what he has begun in you. Let's jump in. Kay, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jody. It's so great to be with you today.
Before we jump into your story, give us a glimpse of what Awakening America Alliance and Helper Connection do. I'm not sure that a lot of our listeners have heard of those organizations.
Well, the Awakening America Alliance's mission is to serve and resource kingdom initiatives for a true Christ awakening and missional living. That's the vision statement. But when it was first formed, the leaders from a broad spectrum of the kingdom of God came together and asked the question, if we're seeking God for a Christ awakening in America, what would it look like? And so they identified 10 indicators in the church and 10 in the culture, and these are listed on our website. So essentially, we're really pursuing seeing those become a reality, and it's amazing how many have since we began in 2007.
Give us one example of that.
For instance, we were praying for a restoration of the influence of faith and Christ in the media, mm-hmm. and arts and entertainment. And in 2007, how many Christian movies or faith-based movies did you know of?
Wow. Yeah, not many.
The Cross and the Switchblade, maybe.
Yeah.
And now look at that, how many are being produced on a consistent basis.
Yeah. Well, that's so encouraging. That is so encouraging. I mean, God working to bring churches together for his purposes. And you play a really important role in that.
I don't know how important my role is, but they did recognize there were four components of earlier Great Awakenings. And that was united prevailing prayer, pastor renewal, courageous preaching, and revitalized churches that were helping to transform their communities. And so that's some of the things that we are engaged with. Well, the Helper Connection was birthed as an initiative of the Awakening America Alliance, and we uniquely serve the pastors' wives and women in ministry through some of the same initiatives, but we host a multi-denominational, multi-generational virtual meeting almost monthly. We have relational retreats, an e-newsletter, and just kind of one-on-one encouragement.
Kay, you have likened your story to that of Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress story. What ignited your quest for that celestial city?
Well, I guess my journey to discovering Christ and this quest for the celestial city, it really began through the lens of story. Listening to Bible stories that my mom would read to me and my three brothers each night before bedtime, I actually still have the Bible story book that she used, and I've read from it to my children and grandchildren, even though the book's backbone is held together with some worn masking tape. When you want to know really about what my younger years were like, I don't have a real vivid memory of that, but I do know that my parents had wonderful servant hearts, and they were really actively engaged in our local church. You probably remember when families didn't miss a service. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, every revival service, a gospel singing or district convention, I mean, we were there.
Yeah.
Little League games or all these other activities, they didn't interfere. We were going to go to church.
Yeah, they took second place.
But both of my grandmothers were very committed Christians. When my dad's mom would visit us from Louisiana, she always slept in my room because I was the one who had the double bed. And early in the morning, she would sit up on the edge of the bed, turn around, you know, put her feet on the floor, and pray for a little while before she ever went about her day.
Wow.
And later I'd see her sitting in the den where she would lay aside her crocheting to read the Bible. You just don't forget things like that.
Exactly. I mean, that's such a good foundation for you as you're growing in your faith to know really what to do even. If you don't see it modeled, you don't know how to go about it unless someone teaches you.
Exactly.
A lot of people grow up in the church, but not everybody makes that personal decision to follow Christ at a young age. Sometimes it takes many, many years and many, many departures along the way. But you did. What drew you to Jesus?
Much like Pilgrim in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, I accepted evangelist's invitation to journey with him and became a Christian around the age of 8.
I remember you telling me about seeing a bunch of young people your age, you know, 7, 8-year-olds, up at the altar praying together. And you were kind of a little bit jealous. And that's one of the things that brought you to the Lord.
Exactly. That's something that made a really strong impression on me. We experienced those altar services at church. And I would join the other children at the altar just crying and praying for one another to be saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it may have initially been because I wanted to fit in with the group, but it made a huge impact in my life. You know, I miss those times, Jody. I miss now that we're in an era of programmed or timed church to make sure the live stream fits the appropriate schedule. Sometimes we limit those opportunities, especially for children. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think we have to continue this new normal because we're reaching thousands of people around the globe with the gospel. But we can't afford to sacrifice seeing people saved, healed, and delivered during spontaneous moves of the Spirit in our worship services and during our altar services. And we called it a service.
Yeah,
we called it an altar service.
Yeah, some of the most profound memories I have of a young child. I accepted the Lord when I was 6, and we were in a home fellowship group. Now, this home fellowship group had 100+ people in it. It was met in a big house, and every Thursday night we would get together. We would pray, we would sing, we had traveling evangelists come through and minister, and the children as well as the adults all sat together and learned together. But it made an experience, you know, I mean, we prayed for healings and we saw it. I remember one time we were all at this house and we were outside playing kickball, and the kickball came right at my face. I stuck up my thumb, you know, to protect myself, and it hit my thumb and broke it. I mean, wow. It was deformed. It was swelling, black and blue, hurt. My mom and dad wanted to rush me to, you know, the emergency room. There were no patient cares at the time. And I said, no, we need to pray about it. So we gathered around and we prayed. And while we were praying, I watched my thumb. The swelling went down. The black and blue went away. My finger went back to normal. It actually has just a slight tilt in my thumb, so I can always remember what God did for me when I was 8 years old. But I mean, when you see God heal you at a young age, when you experience the power of God, you never question it again. I mean, no matter what's going on in the world, you know, hey, God's power is greater. He heals, he sets free, he delivers. And when we see that as a young child and experience it, it just makes a world of difference.
Jody, you know, I had a similar experience to that. As an adult, we were meeting in a home prayer gathering. And one of the guys had a broken arm issue. And we prayed for him. He felt he was healed. He took off the cast and never had any issues.
Yeah, so you see these things. And I believe that the Lord wants to do that again. He wants that power flowing through his people, regardless of, you know, what position they hold, because we're all part of the body of Christ and he wants to move through all of us.
And I say, God, deliver us from barren altars and bring back the signs and the wonders and the miracles that cause people to be hungry to know this Jesus we serve.
So what happened? I mean, you came to know the Lord when you said you were about 8, and what helped you grow in your faith at that young age? I mean, you talked about your mom reading the Bible when you were growing up, but what other practices or experiences did you have that just grounded you for all the things to come in your life?
Well, lest I sound like a Miss Goody Two Shoes, I faced my share of temptations and bad influences in school. But around that same time, we had a wonderful youth leader who happened to be married to our Sunday school teacher. And they spent a lot of time not only teaching us and doing things with us at church, but relationally connecting with us outside of church. My attention sort of shifted away from sports and the bad influences at school to a really active involvement with my church friends and activities. And suddenly I found myself wanting to read the word on my own, not just living off the Bible stories Mama and Aunt Maudie taught me, but I wanted to know Jesus for myself.
While the Lord was working in your life to draw you closer to him, Satan really came at you with a vengeance during that time. And he tried to destroy your identity, literally, and derail your future. What happened during that time?
Well, during my middle school years, Mom began working outside the home. And often she worked second shift, which left a gap between when we came home from school and when Dad got in from work. And there were certain people who found they could take advantage of a very vulnerable situation. And without going into a lot of details unnecessary, Satan really caused some potentially dangerous seeds to be sown in my life. Mm-hmm. Seeds of lust, manipulation, intimidation. And there were other incidents that occurred earlier in my life that I vaguely remember, but I chose to forgive. But Christ had a purpose and a destiny for my life that was mightier than the enemy's plan for my destruction. And he called me chosen, anointed, a called daughter of the Most High God.
Yeah, you really could have embraced the victim identity for the rest of your life after some of the abusive situations you experienced, but you didn't. There was even a moment during your high school years that reoriented you toward that new identity that Lord had for you. What was that?
Well, it was kind of like all of a sudden who I'd been in those tween years, those troubled times between childhood and teenage, my name and my character began to be really changed by the power of the Holy Spirit and growing in my love for the Word. And God began to cleanse and just anoint me in amazing ways because of this influence of our youth leader and her husband. It's when my life kind of took a turn in a healthier direction. I still had a long way to go before God could reveal more of his plan for my life, but well, let me elaborate on it just a bit here. Uh-huh. One Sunday afternoon, several of the youth from our church had gone home for lunch with these wonderful mentors, And we gathered around their piano that afternoon and began singing. Mm-hmm. So what started as just fun became serious, and we found ourselves singing in church that night.
Wow.
And this eventually led to singing in other churches and denomination state functions, that type thing. And some in our group were exceptionally talented. However, I was never allowed to sing solos or duets for obvious reasons. Yet they often asked me to introduce the songs, or the Holy Spirit would just break into our worship and move me to share what I would now know as maybe a word of knowledge or an exhortation or some type of perception or insight. And sometimes you now hear those called spoken words and you see them performed real dramatically. But I just began to flow in the Spirit in unique ways. And some of the spiritual mothers and fathers in our church began to recognize God's anointing on my life and speak words of encouragement about His ministry through me. So essentially, God's call to active or vocational ministry was beginning to be developed in my life. And some people describe their call to ministries like a definitive moment or event. But I think mine was just more gradual.
Well, yeah, I mean, you went to Christian junior college, you met your husband, you got married, you started a family, all the things that many women, you know, kind of expect, desire in their life. You became a mom. And obviously that was your calling for that season. But, you know, long before homeschooling was even common, you took that road less traveled with your kids on top of, you know, having them involved in church, and you actually homeschooled them as well. And that was a really big decision.
Well, homeschooling definitely was not something I had planned. Mm-hmm. I was a PTO mom and volunteer around the school, and that was enough for me. And I was also traveling and ministering in ladies' retreats by this time. I was involved in church leadership roles and volunteering at the local pregnancy care center. Yet our daughter began to have some struggles in the middle school experience, especially when I was traveling. And just a variety of situations and circumstances caused us to sense that the Lord was calling us to begin teaching them at home during the seventh and ninth grades, which was a bit opposite from most homeschool parents who did it during the elementary grades.
More difficult.
I recall one summer while our children were on a youth mission trip to the reservation, I think it was a Navajo reservation in Utah, I was praying and asking the Lord if He was sure that we were to continue homeschooling that fall. And it was a lot of work, and I became weary at times. He reminded me of the scripture that He had given me at the beginning of this journey, and it happened to be in my devotional reading for that day. And that's in Proverbs 9 and 10. It's also in Psalms, which I wasn't aware of, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And I sensed Him saying, Kay, what do you really want your children to learn? Boy. Because, you know, if we live with a reverence for God and a knowledge of the Lord's sovereignty in our lives, He can manage every challenge we ever face.
Parents today need that word more than ever because of all of the garbage that is seeping into so many schools, not every school, and not every parent can homeschool, nor does God call every parent to homeschool, but sowing that fear of the Lord and knowledge of the holy into your children's lives very intentionally is so key in establishing them in truth and helping guide them away from real problems and struggles in their life.
None of us or our children are exempt from those struggles. We've seen our children go through.
Kay, how did you move from being a full-time homeschooling mom to leading organizations? I mean, you've been in ministry for many years now and been a part of leading quite a few organizations. Did you plan and carefully strategize a career path, or just how did you move from mom to ministry leader?
I wish I was that structured and organized with my life plan. But Jody, I can honestly say I never submitted my resume or applied for a single ministry position without first being asked to serve.
Really?
I began in a volunteer position at the Pregnancy Care Center. Of course, that was because someone had come to our church and asked for people to volunteer. And from that point, they asked me to become like the office manager. And eventually, I served as the executive director of that nonprofit for 6 years before God dramatically changed the course of my ministry journey.
And so there was no strategizing or putting your name forward or trying to network your way into a position. It was just serving the Lord, being obedient to his call.
Oh, you said it exactly right. I just wanted to serve wherever he put me. And you've read my bio. It's amazing to see the doors he's opened for a little girl who grew up in a family in Horn Lake, Mississippi, near Bullfrog Corner. And I've been able to minister in multiple states and numerous countries outside the U.S. I can't explain it. It had to be God. And I think sometimes when we try to force it, especially as women in ministry, the doors close more quickly than they open. But if we allow God to direct our steps and we put our trust fully in him and his plan for our life, he opens the doors and provides the opportunities where he wants to use us.
Yeah. And you know, that applies to women who are working in the marketplace, women who are educators, women who are in the medical profession. I mean, not that you never put a resume in, but the Lord is the one who opens the doors. It says in scripture, and I can't remember the actual verse right now, but the Lord is the one who raises up. You know, the Lord is the one who opens those doors for us. And I think there's a message in the world, particularly for women today, that you have to just push your way through those doors. You have to break those glass ceilings. And it's the Lord who elevates. I mean, I've seen over and over, I mean, we talked about this the other day. I've seen over and over again in my own life, I have these, Lord, how did I get here moments, recognizing it was only God who could have opened the doors for me to be where I was. And I know you've had similar experiences. Share some of those moves and moments that, you know, only God could have arranged.
The reality is we all deal with stained glass ceilings.
Yes.
And sticky floors. And for me, I think sometimes the sticky floor, my own feelings of insecurity and inadequacy, could have been real hindrances for me. But after leaving New Hope Pregnancy Care Center, I became the first female associate and later the interim pastor of our local church. This was a church at that time we had attended for more than like 28 years. And that was just God divinely moving me from one position to the other. That's a long story, and I won't go into all of the details. But when the pastor called me into his office that day to ask if I wanted to serve on staff at that local church, I had so clearly heard from the Lord before that, and he and his wife, and you know, they had prayed through it the night before, or probably for some days before that. That when I said yes, I didn't even know what I was fully saying yes to.
Yeah,
I didn't know if it was full time or part time, and I didn't even know the title. I just knew that God was directing me in that way. And for 3 years after that, I began during that time serving with the pastor in a media ministry that he was leading. And I moved from that church to become the administrator of this international media ministry and the Christian education minister, providing insight segments on this World Impact television program. I did that for 3 years.
So you were crisis pregnancy center leader, you were on staff at a church, you were the head of a media ministry, I mean, you hadn't really trained for any of that, but you were consistently spending time with the Lord and hearing what he was saying to you, which makes you qualified.
It's funny that you talk about how I hadn't really qualified or prepared. I was actually in the process of becoming a licensed minister. I was still just considered like a lay minister mm-hmm. when I was asked to serve at that church, because earlier that year I had sensed God saying, "Kay, it's time to move to the next level." And even though I'd always said, "You don't have to have a license to do what you do, Kay." Yeah. The Lord was saying, it's time for you to become credentialed. So I became credentialed during the time that I was serving at that church and then moved to the media ministry. And amazingly, God blessed me to become a ministry's project coordinator for an International Center for Spiritual Renewal, which was the spearhead organization for the 2006 Azusa Street Centennial. And they brought in like 50,000 people from 106 nations of the world. And bear in mind, this is the little girl from Horn Lake, Mississippi, that grew up in a family without many ministers at all. Wow. It had to be God.
Yeah. Well, he likes to use those who are so unlikely so that he gets the glory. That's what I have come to realize in my own life. You know, when I have that moment of, how did I get here, Lord? It's like, well, I got you here because I want to be glorified through you. And, yes. You know, when we recognize that, it's kind of fun to see what God's up to in your life. You know, it's an adventure that you never know how he's going to use you next or where he's going to move you next.
Well, it was during my adventure with the Center for Spiritual Renewal that we together formed the Awakening America Alliance.
Uh-huh.
And, after doing that, I stepped away for a brief time to finish a degree in Christian ministries with an emphasis in Bible. And afterwards, I became the coordinator for that national prayer ministry known as Cry Out America that was part of the Awakening America Alliance. And this evolved into serving as the interim director of this ministry because the leader at that time moved to be a president of a university. And it was so funny, Jody, well, maybe not so funny, that when I was called in to meet with the board of directors, they asked if I would serve because they had not yet found God's man for the job. Mm-hmm. And they must not have found him, because later they began to talk with me about the possibility of just dropping that interim descriptive from my title, and I became the executive director of that ministry. A really exciting thing that the Lord allowed me to do was serve a 2-year term as the first executive director for the Pentecostal Charismatic Churches of North America. And that encompassed leaders from Canada, Mexico, and the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah, but I was trying to wear a few too many hats, and I think I've heard some others on your podcast mention we have to be careful that we're doing the God things and not just the good things.
Right, yeah.
And even though I knew the Lord directed me to do that for a season, I also knew when he said, okay, it's time to stop that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes our egos will say, Lord, how can I do that? How can I step aside from this? Look where you've placed me. But I knew he was saying, I want you to focus back on the Awakening America Alliance. And since I have, it's really become very involved with a recent campaign called He Gets Us.
Kay, as a woman who's served in leadership roles for many years now, what biblical truths or principles do you encourage younger women to embrace in their journey, whether they're in ministry or whether they're just walking with the Lord, you know, in another calling in the marketplace or some other aspect? What are some of those principles or truths that you would really want to impart to women who are trying to lead a godly, holy life?
First, I would say something that I did not learn initially, but I have grown to love and appreciate as I've matured in my walk with Christ. I would say, give God the first fruits of every day. By taking time to develop an intimate relationship with him. this principle of perichoresis that's referred to by some as the dance. It begins in Genesis and it's threaded throughout Scripture. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were already in ongoing communion and conversation in the heavenlies, and yet through creation, they invite us to join them in the dance. And we do this through prayer and engagement with God's Word and joining Him on mission in the world around us. And secondly, I would say enjoy every step of the dance or the journey. Take advantage of the cross training along the way. To quote another Jody with the last name Dietrich from her book, The Jesus-Hearted Woman, she says, take the stairs. Some people are what I call elevator leaders. They want a quick and easy ride to the top, skipping everything in between. But the strength to lead well when you get to the top and the stamina to stay there is built by taking the stairs, by putting one foot in front of the other, dealing with incremental levels of leadership. Finally, there's one other thing I would say to a younger person just launching out into ministry, wherever God has called them, do it with authenticity. You have nothing to prove and nothing to lose by being who God created and called you to be. You don't have to fit into anyone else's ministry shoes. God has your pair of high heels or combat boots personally designed for you.
Amen. That reminds me of just what you said earlier about the sticky floors and not getting stuck because we feel we're not worthy. I mean, we're not worthy, but God equips us and to fully embrace either those high heels or that combat boots according to what God has for us.
So true.
But conversely, not taking that elevator.
I think that's more the mentality we live in. Such a fast-paced world. I mean, our world's become a neighborhood. And with drive-through restaurants and microwaves and internet technology, we think things should happen instantly.
Yep.
I graduate from high school. I pursue my degree and my credentials, and I'm on the high road now. But
yep.
God wants us to take it a step at a time as He leads us. And as I say, as He cross-trains us for what He has ahead. I jokingly say my bio sounds like I had trouble keeping a job.
Yeah.
But that was really God training and equipping me for the next step and the next step and the next step. And I have not arrived by any means. And there are still times that I'm thinking, Lord, I could go home to baking chocolate chip cookies and doing things with my husband who's semi-retired. But when I start considering that, there's this passion and drive in my spirit that I still want to reach out and touch other young women and pastors' wives and people in ministry. And I want to continue to mobilize and engage the body of Christ in united, prevailing prayer that is going to be required if we're going to experience the Christ awakening He has for us in this nation.
Well, I'd love to ask my guests to share if there's a woman in the Bible whose story has inspired or encouraged or taught you something and how her story relates to yours. Is there someone, Kay?
I would have to say that I'm a blend of both Mary and Martha.
Ah.
I love sitting at the feet of Jesus, clinging to His word, pouring the oil of anointed worship and sharing with others, teaching or preaching. Yet I'm also called to be a leader who serves leaders. And sometimes the Martha side of me becomes so involved in serving and administrative responsibilities that I'm robbed of the joy of spending more time in His presence. So it's a constant balancing act. But I think we need both in the kingdom of God. We need the Marthas and we need the Marys. So I say, whichever one you feel that you might be, don't despise it and allow God to synergize if you're a little bit of both.
Kay, thank you for sharing such a powerful testimony. Your journey is a beautiful reminder that God doesn't need perfect resumes or polished plans. He's looking for hearts that are willing to follow Him one step at a time. The world often tells us to lean into our careers, to strive harder, push through every barrier, and build our own platforms. But godly wisdom calls us to something very different, to listen for the voice of the shepherd and let Him direct our steps. Because when God is the one leading, He can bring down every barrier in His perfect timing. Isaiah 30, verse 21 promises whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." We don't have to force our way forward. We simply need to follow where He leads. So whether you're walking through transition, waiting for open doors, or wrestling with feelings of inadequacy, know this: God sees you. He's guiding you, and He is more than able to make a way as we seek His face and trust Him. Kay, would you take a moment and pray for everyone listening to your story?
Thank you, Jody. I would be honored. Abba, Father, thank you. Thank you for this special time today, sharing about your amazing grace and goodness in our lives. I pray that you would speak, revealing your love and compassion for every person listening to this podcast. May they hear you calling them by their name, the name you have given them, revealing your purpose and your calling in their lives. Grant grace and favor in their place of ministry, whether that's in their home, the marketplace, the church, or the broader kingdom of God. And along with the words of Francis Frangipane, I want to decree that you can topple the stronghold of our experiences, Father. We have to let you be found true, though every man be found a liar. You're the only one who has a right to shape our lives, Jesus. Help us to determine to allow nothing and no one to shape us, not even our personal experiences, unless they are consistent with your word and your promises for us. We declare that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is ruling and reigning in our lives with victory and power for overcoming every obstacle the enemy might try to throw our way. So thank you, Jesus Christ, for choosing and inviting us into personal relationship and on mission with you. Amen.
And friends, as we close, I want to speak this blessing over you, adapted from Jeremiah 29:11 and Philippians 1:6. May you rest in the confidence that the Lord knows the plans He has for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. And may you trust that He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in His perfect time and in His perfect way. God is still writing your story, and His plans for you are full of promise. Here at Her God Story and Somebody Cares, we want to reflect that same heart of God to those who feel forgotten or overwhelmed by life's unexpected turns. That's why we established the Widow and Orphan Fund, to bring hope and practical help to those in crisis. Just recently, one of our Somebody Cares ministry leaders passed away unexpectedly, leaving his widow not only in deep grief, but facing crushing final expenses. But because of the generous friends like you, we were able to step in and lift part of that burden. In her darkest hour, she was reminded that she was seen by God and surrounded by His people. If that touches your heart, would you prayerfully consider joining us in this mission? Every gift, large or small, becomes part of God's provision to someone in desperate need. Just visit hergodstory.org and click on Help Now. And yes, we even accept cryptocurrency. And don't forget to stop by the website for today's show notes, the scriptures we mentioned, and your free download of our 6-week devotional on Women of the Bible. It's a great way to deepen your walk with the Lord. If you need prayer, we're here for you. Call or text our 24/7 prayer line at 855-459-CARE or email us at prayer@somebodycares.org. Until next time, walk boldly in the power and purpose God has placed within you. Remember, He is still writing your story.
Her God Story is a ministry of Somebody Cares America and International. To find out more about or support the ministry, go to somebodycares.org.